everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're really glad that you joined us.
That's right. As always, Dr. Linda, it's good to be sharing a microphone with you again this weekend. And we have an interesting show that I think will help a lot of people. We're talking about people who are shy and how to overcome shyness. I don't believe either of us has ever been accused of being shy before, but there are some people who struggle with that.
I can tell you I've never been accused of being shy.
No, it's not a trait that people would attribute to me either, but there are times where I think I could be a shy person.
Well, I'm going to guess that sometimes you pull away, and we're going to talk mm-hmm. about that a little bit later in the show. But here's a couple of questions that I want to ask you who are listening, and this might help you decide if you're someone who's shy. So the first question is, does fear of embarrassment cause you to avoid doing things or to speak to people? Because that's a biggie for people who are shy. Oh, here's the second question. Do you avoid activities in which you are the center of attention? And the third question is being embarrassed or looking stupid among your worst fears? Now, if you answered two of those three questions as yes, then chances are you might be someone who is shy. There are quiet and passive people that like to avoid contact, eye contact, and looking at you. And sometimes shy people just look nervous when things are going on.
Would you say that people who are afraid to have their photo taken would be a shy person?
Well, you know, this one that says if you're the center of attention, a lot of times mm-hmm. that's the key. I've noticed that with some of my daughter's friends where they will be like, no, I don't want to be the one. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, my mom and sister are like that.
Are they?
If a camera comes out, they're gone.
Are they shy?
No.
Oh, well, then that blows that theory. So much for that. Let's go back to the science.
Right. Well, you say there are physical signs attributed to people who are shy.
There are. So if you look at a lot of times when shy people are put in a situation where they have to perform, they will shake a little bit. They might mm-hmm. begin to sweat. They look really nervous, and sometimes they blush. I think blushing is one of the things that really gives it away.
So we've sort of toyed around with this idea so far, but what exactly is shyness? Is it a mental thing or an emotional thing?
Well, it's more of a personality trait, actually. Hmm. So it's that tendency that people have to feel very awkward or worried or tense during any kind of social encounter, especially when they're with people who are unfamiliar to them. So shyness is usually associated, though, with people who are quiet, maybe somewhat insecure, and a lot of times socially anxious because of that unfamiliarity.
Well, don't most people feel shy at least occasionally, and doesn't it sometimes pass or will outgrow it?
Yeah, that's kind of a good question because we do all have shy moments. I mean, there are times that you do kind of feel uncomfortable and you want to kind of shrink back. I remember I met – you will die at this story. I met a very famous psychologist. Have you ever heard of B.F. Skinner? Well, he's like huge in terms of – he started behavioral therapy. So he's like this big, big guy. So I'm in an elevator with him. In a hotel, and all of a sudden I walk in the elevator, and there he is. I mean, this is the guy in the textbook. This is like the guy who's very, very famous. And I just panicked. I just looked at him, and you know what I said to him? I said, how's the weather?
How's the weather?
Oh, my gosh. I'm with one of the most brilliant psychologists in the world, and I say, how's the weather? So I got very shy at that moment, kind of overwhelmed.
Did he have a good report for the weather?
He didn't say too much. He probably thought I was a little crazy. But I think that's a lot of what shy people feel like. You know, when they're with somebody that they don't know and they have to have some kind of social encounter, that's what happens. And when you're shy, it can be so intense like that you just don't know what to do and you don't know how to interact with people.
Is being shy, and I think of Johnny Carson because they say he was a very quiet to himself person, but then he would get on stage in front of millions of people every night on the Tonight Show. Is shy the same as being an introvert?
Yeah, I think we could think of a lot of entertainers like that, couldn't we? Mm-hmm, but right. There really is a difference, and I'm glad you brought that up because another person I'm thinking of when you say that is Bill Gates. So he is not shy, but he's an introvert. Mm. And then somebody said Barbara Streisand is shy, but I don't know. I think she's more fearful of getting up. Isn't it amazing? She gets fearful of performing.
Wow.
On a live stage. She's probably one of the best singers of our day. And yet she is very extroverted when she's in public. So the difference is that introverted people, they pull away from people in order to recharge. And people that are extroverted like to be around people to recharge. So that's a little bit different than somebody who's shy. The shy person is really afraid to go to the party and stays home alone, rather than the introverted person who says, no, I'm not going to go to that party because I want to stay home and I want to really recharge.
Are we born that way with shyness?
Well, there are certain temperaments that you're born with, and you can probably see that even in your children, the different temperaments
right,
of your
definitely,
kids.
Yes.
So you can be born with a shy temperament, and sometimes people grow out of it, like you said, and other times it just stays with people. So people that have this more shy temperament, and it's funny, if you really want to see this, go into a nursery in the church, and you can see the babies that are a little bit more withdrawn, that a little bit more avoidant of the interactions with other people.
Right.
They might be highly sensitive, and sometimes they just have a more awkwardness in terms of being around people. So that's part of that shy temperament that you'll see.
With what you do, you keep up with research concerning our brains. Is the brain of a shy person different from someone who isn't shy?
Yeah, people who are shy have a part of their brain that is more sensitive and more active than someone who is an extrovert. Isn't that interesting when we look at the brain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the increased activity in parts of the brain that cause a person to withdraw, either physically or emotionally, operate a little bit different. Now, here's the thing. The shy brain is not different in structure than someone who isn't shy. It's just that certain parts of the brain are more sensitive. And so everybody has this kind of shyness thermometer that is set by genetics and some other factors as well.
Speaking of that, like stressful events in your life, and the reason I ask this is because you see children who come from families where they are yelled at a lot as sort of a tense situation. Could that have anything to do with a child becoming shy?
Well, it can, especially if there's some shaming experience, because who wants to put themselves out there if they've been shamed when they're growing up? That's something that does cause you to withdraw. And for some kids, change is really hard to do, too, and that can cause shyness, especially kids that have maybe changed schools or moved to a new city. Maybe they have some kind of abrupt change in their family life, like a death or a job loss. That can bring on shyness in some kids.
But then you see kids with nurturing parents who are outgoing, but then the kid themselves is shy. How does that work?
Well, the family actually can have a positive influence on a child as well, but it doesn't necessarily overcome it if that's that child's personality. So, you know, just like negative experiences can shut the child down, positive experiences can bring the person out and so kind of encourage them to get past some of that shyness. But still, if they have that temperament, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for that child than another child.
We've got about a minute before the break, and I do want to ask you this. There's different situations where a person can be shy, you know, meeting new people, an exam, a performance, that type of thing, a job interview. Are there different degrees of shyness?
Yeah, I think like most personality traits, there are degrees of shyness. A person could be really quiet when meeting new people, but then maybe become more talkative when the person feels more comfortable with them. Somebody who goes in for a job and is trying to, you know, get a job might be afraid. Might not be so afraid if they're in a social gathering, but that one-on-one could cause them to be a little bit shy.
Dr. Linda, we need to take a break. After the break, we'll talk about what to do to overcome shyness and how you can help a shy person as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Now, everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do much good, and really, it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Well, you know, anger easily rises up in most of us. And while anger is a natural emotion, we need to deal with it the right way. So it's not wrong to be angry, but how you deal with your anger is what counts. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? This is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. This small book has sold over 130,000 copies. It's because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches us. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com. That's drlindamental.com, and also available online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Just a reminder, you can follow Dr. Linda on social media, on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, and Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Instagram at Dr. Linda Mental. And social media is a great way to keep up with Dr. Linda's speaking and writing on relationships. In fact, there's lots of great tweets each week about our show topic. And today's topic is overcoming shyness, a personality trait that can sometimes get in the way in terms of accomplishing things or being with people. So let's give some help for those listening who are shy or want to help a shy friend or family member.
You know, a shy person is really slow to warm up. I think that's one of the keys here. Shy people simply just require a little bit extra time, Chris, because it's a new situation or it's a stressful situation, including the things that maybe we take for granted, like just everyday conversation and going to something social. So my first sort of tip is don't be so impatient and give the person some time that they need to adjust and to move forward. It just takes a little bit longer when you're shy, but you will get there.
It seems it would be easy for a shy person to walk into a room and compare themselves to the person in the room who's the most social.
I think we all do that, don't we, anyway?
Yeah, we do. You're right.
It's probably worse for the shy person because then what happens is that negative self-talk starts to take over and it makes the situation even worse. But here's the reality. Most people in the room are feeling just as uncomfortable as the shy person.
We all have a complex.
Yeah. I mean, but don't you think when you go into a new room or you go into a social gathering where you don't know people, don't you feel uncomfortable? So I think the difference is some of us just power through that. But for the shy person, that's really hard. So they need to remember that they're not weird feeling uncomfortable. Everybody probably is feeling the same, but they do need to practice with the non-shy person does, which is to kind of push through it.
You do have to put yourself out there, especially if you want a relationship, even if it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, so here we are back to that uncomfortable again. So the number one problem area for the shy person is starting a relationship. People have a lot of problems with the introductions. They'll go to a party and then nothing happens. You know, they have trouble developing friendships. But here's the thing. The research shows that once a shy person is in a relationship, they don't seem to have so much trouble then, and they develop intimacy really well. So if you can get into an intimate relationship with someone, then the shyness no longer seems to be a problem. Unfortunately, you have to start, and you have to get there.
It's interesting, too, if you look at relationships now and look back to when they started, that person may have been very quiet and hard to get through. Now
they're fine.
Right.
So maybe they need a little push. Did you ever push your friends and say, go ahead, talk to that girl, or go ahead and say something? Sometimes that's what they need is just a little push.
Right. Well, let's get into some specifics on why a shy or what a shy person can do when he or she has to go to, let's say, an office party or a wedding or a social event. Let's start with this. Don't shy people arrive late to an event in order to blend in?
Well, yes, but that's the wrong strategy. So here's the strategy, and it just seems kind of counterintuitive, but you need to arrive early at events so that you can meet people one-on-one. Then you can move on to sort of quick talk. This is the advice that some of the experts have given. They say talk to lots of different people for very short periods of time so you don't put a lot of pressure on yourself to, you know, how keep that conversation going.
Right.
You say two or three things and you think, okay, I don't know what else to say. So just kind of move to different people and have that same conversation with maybe 8 to 10 people. As you're swinging through the event and through the crowd, you're sort of warming up. It's sort of like a race. You know, you're kind of warming up to the actual race that you're going to run. And then you can go back to the people who you think you could maybe connect with or might be a little bit more interesting.
Mom tells a story about how when she was a kid, she would write down things to say to people.
That's good. That's actually one of the tips we're going to get to. That's
right.
A good thing.
Thinking ahead and plan the conversation.
You know, it's a great idea. Your mom had that idea right. Think of things that you can say for conversations. What would you talk about with somebody new? Because if you have some ideas ahead of time, it's going to take the anxiety down. You're going to feel a little bit more confident if you do that. So take some ideas. Think about what's going on in the world, maybe the news. Maybe not these days, the news, because the news is so disturbing at times. But, you know, what's going on in your community, maybe your church. Here's the thing. This is really interesting to me. I read this and I had never heard this, that conversation with strangers typically moves through five stages. So some psychologist wrote about this. So he says, first, there's an opening line, and just keep it really simple. Introduce yourself somehow. And then you have to try out some topics and then explore for some common ground, then have some closure in which you tell the person that you're going to do something or you want to talk more or whatever, and then sum up whatever you've been talking about and maybe give contact information to each other. Now, that just seems very scientific to
very,
me.
Very formal.
I don't know if I could remember the five steps.
I'm Chris now. The first thing I'm going to do is, let's see, we're going to come up with an opening line.
There you go. Coaching somebody, you could go through those steps, and I think right. That would really help somebody to do that.
Is it possible to make yourself more approachable?
Yes. And this is, again, a tip for anybody who's shy. You need to smile and be friendly. Mm. Because if you're friendly looking and you're smiling, then people are going to approach you. Now, maybe that scares you because you're right. smiling at somebody. They're going to come towards you. But you have to open yourself up to other people, Chris, and you have to make them feel comfortable. And there's nothing that makes anybody feel more comfortable than if you smile at them and you look approachable. So that's the key. Look approachable.
I know this is dangerous, and someone may say, I could never do this. And even though it's awkward, you have to just make yourself talk,
yeah,
and interact.
You do. You have to kind of practice those social skills that we're talking about. So try smiling at someone or saying hi and just keep practicing at home. You could even look in the mirror and practice this until you feel like you have some kind of confidence or you've got a couple of things that you could say to someone. And then again, you can move on to someone else or something else, but just keep trying to make eye contact with the person during a conversation. And sometimes it really helps you to think about what is the worst thing that could happen. And
right.
if you can kind of anticipate that, you know, maybe then you can take the fear level down and go, okay, that's the worst thing. That's not terrible, but maybe I can do this. I think a good thing, too, is to sort of place yourself in a party or a social event next to something that you could maybe get some conversation going, like the food tray or something.
Oh, that's where I hang out. The buffet.
But that's not related to your shyness, as I understand it.
What about just simply coming out and saying, hey, I'm shy?
You know, sometimes that can really help. That's what the research shows, is that you can make people more comfortable by just saying, you know, I'm shy. This is really hard for me. And people then are very understanding and caring, and they actually help you and support you in that.
If you are successful at getting through your shyness, it's never bad to pat yourself on the back and recognize the progress you've made.
It's really important to do that you did something well, and to reinforce that, because what shy people tend to do is just go, oh, I didn't handle that very well.
Right.
I did, rather than looking at maybe one or two things that they really did well to make things better.
How about if you go to a wedding or an event, find something to do and play a role?
That's the best thing. For instance, if you have to go to a big family wedding, you might want to, you know, just hide. But if you kind of place yourself by the buffet table or offer to volunteer to do something at the wedding, like maybe sign the, you know, be the person at the guest book.
Right.
Sometimes when you have a defined role at an event, that will help you in terms of your shyness. And then rounding up people, maybe one of the things you could do is help people get together for photos,
mm-hmm,
or do something that would give you a role so that you would have a little bit more confidence.
All right, good stuff. As we take a short break, more on overcoming shyness when we return on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and please don't forget to check out Dr. Linda's blogs and books at her website, drlindamental.com. Today we're talking about overcoming shyness, and we've discussed a number of practical steps to take. Before we move into giving spiritual help, Dr. Linda, give us some tips on helping someone who we know is shy.
So again, we talked at the very beginning, be patient and encourage the person to speak or do something with you. So just grab them and say, we're doing it. You're going with me.
Right.
And then we talked a little bit about role playing, which is a really good way to help somebody ahead of time. Just have an anticipated situation, role play with that person. Sometimes it really helps to just set a little goal and say, let's just have this one goal when we go to this party. And then they can see if they attain it or not. Sometimes it's good to help them think ahead of time. Okay, don't focus on the negative. Try to focus on the positive and develop some positive thoughts when you walk into a room. And then avoid sort of negative labels and some intense pressure that you might have that you have to perform a certain way. Like, oh, I'm just terrible at this. That's what I mean by a negative label. And just say, I'm just such a social phobic or something. Don't do that to yourself. And remember that shyness and social anxiety are common. And they're universal experiences that all of us feel one time or another. So you're not alone in the universe with this.
Well, you mentioned that earlier, and we sort of laughed when I said, we've all got a complex.
We do, at certain times. We can all be shy at certain times. So you've got people that understand you when you're trying to overcome this.
Right. Well, as usual on the Dr. Linda Show, in this last segment, we like to wrap it up and put some scripture with what we're talking about. And Dr. Linda, we know the Bible always speaks to things we struggle with. What do we need to remember from a spiritual perspective?
Chris, I like 2 Timothy 1:7, and I love this translation. It's from Today's Living Bible. It says, for the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. Isn't that a great translation?
Definitely.
So what it's saying here is that shyness can be overcome by relying on the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit for strength, again, to push through that fear or that anxiety and to actually enjoy people.
I'm thinking of Moses, and we gather from the book of Exodus that he either had a really bad speech impediment or he just wasn't a good speaker. There was something there, and he did not want to be the spokesperson that God was calling out for the Israelites.
Well, in fact, listen to this passage. So this is what it says in Scripture. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the past times, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So that's pretty right there saying, I'm not doing this. I'm not too good at this. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, then, go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. I love that, Chris. But it's so positive here. He says, now go, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. I just think that's such a great encouragement from the Lord. He did that for Moses. He can do that for anybody that's listening who's struggling with this as well.
He said something very similar to Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I am young.
And a lot of people struggle with that, don't they? They think because I'm a youth, that I'm young somehow, that I don't know what to say. Probably one of the most well-known verses will remind us that we can overcome shyness. And again, we're going to go back to Timothy here, 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline.
I've discussed this with people about whether or not someone who's quiet is actually a very prideful person, or are they shy? Is shyness a form of pride?
Well, I think that comes from the idea that maybe fear of what people will think about us and being overly concerned about the opinions of men, and that's talked about in Ephesians 6 and Proverbs 29. Maybe those kinds of fears can be reflections of some kind of obsession that you might have with the self. But we know from Scripture that we are not to be worried about the opinions of other people, not to fear what they think about us or even what they say about us. Now, I know we might know that it's hard sometimes to function like that because, let's face it, a lot of us do worry what other people think. But again, at the root of that can be pride if you're thinking, really, this is all about what other people are thinking about me.
So what about Romans 8:31? Isn't it helpful to remind ourselves that God is for us?
Yes, God is in control of every situation. He's working all things for our best interest. He's already accepted you. You're on his team. You need to remember that scripture that says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
But self-consciousness about shyness gets the best of us. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe.
That verse doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen to us, but the key is to trust the Lord. That's the antidote to self-conscientiousness that people struggle with shyness. With God's power inside you, take action based on his love. Then you have a better opportunity to shine his light onto others. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation from all of us here at Faith Radio. We'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.